Coming up, do we know the truth about the number of school shootings? I'll talk to Dr. John Lott about that. You might be surprised you're being fed some bad numbers lately.
The Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get to your phone calls and your emails just a bit later in this First Amendment Friday. But first, I want to talk about numbers. I know, numbers and radio, that really works well. But the fact is that over the years, we've had some school shootings in America. It's actually statistically a relatively rare event, as Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center will tell you. I have to disclose I'm on the board of directors of the Crime Prevention Research Center because I think it does fantastic work. Dr. Lott is the author most recently of The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And Dr. Lott, earlier this week, I was telling my audience how, to their credit, National Public Radio, which doesn't ordinarily wouldn't ordinarily be viewed as a conservative news organization, actually went out and researched the claimed 242 school shootings in a given period of time and found that only 11 of them could be verified and that at least two-thirds of them appeared not to have happened at all. Welcome back to the program. And what should we know about the numbers that are being used to push the gun control agenda in America these days?
It's great talking to you, Lars. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Look, we at the Crime Prevention Research Center have been putting out this data yearly on school shootings. It's nice to see NPR would go and check this out and show how exaggerated groups like Bloomberg's Everytown for Gun Safety have been in terms of these numbers. I mean, it's really outrageous. But, you know, they've been called on this before. They put it this out. In this case, they were looking at some numbers specifically from the government. The problem is that during the Obama administration, in many places, they have affected the actual gathering of the data. There's always in the past been kind of this Chinese wall, whether it be crime data or education data, between the political people and the actual gathering of data. You know, during the Obama administration, in many ways, they breached that wall. And it really corrupts the whole process because academics use this data to go and do studies. And if you can alter the data in important ways, you're going to affect all sorts of studies that are going to be done using that data.
But, Doctor, the people who are in the midst of doing the data research, the kind of research that you do at the Crime Prevention Research Center, they must know that these are corrupt pieces of data, or, as we used to call it in the news business, funny, you know, jokingly, a story too good to check, that when somebody called you up and told you something really crazy, you'd say, wow, that's a great story if it's true. And the unreliable journalist says, well, I just won't check it, because if I check it, I'll probably find out it's not as told to me. Researchers don't do that, do they? Or are they consciously doing it, and is there any consequence from their professional peers when it appears they've used data that's been mischaracterized, data that's just flat wrong, and that there was no way they could have done it accidentally? Do their professional peers call them on it?
Look, you have a range of researchers out there. Some of them know the problems that are there. Some of them know but don't care. And there's some who use data sometimes that they don't really look at very carefully. And unfortunately, a lot of academia cares more about what getting the result that they want rather than getting the right result. And you know, the politics that we see infect lots of things. I mean, you hear about the political bias on campuses all the time. I was a university professor for about 25 years. I've been at places like Stanford and the Wharton Business School in Chicago and Yale. You know, it's not surprising to be in places where there might be just a couple conservatives or a couple Republicans on the faculty at a place. And you know, it's, you know, people like to have people who view this world the same way they do, unfortunately.
So, okay, but if there's a consequence to using bad data, if I go on the air and tell a story that is just, you know, flat out wrong, and it appears that I had the ability to know that it was wrong before I put it on the air, I'll not only get called on it, I could literally get fired for doing it. What happens to these researchers when the institutions they work for, usually universities, find out that they've been using phony data and either should have or did know or should have known if they'd exercised ordinary, you know, safeguards against using bad data. Is there ever any consequence for doing that? Because it sounds as though if people are knowingly using false data, they also seem to know, and nothing will happen if I get caught. Because otherwise, you know, these folks are saying, I'm going to push out a false bunch of data in a study, and even if I get caught, no one will do anything. Well, in that case, you're probably going to get a lot of people doing that kind of thing, aren't you?
Correct. Look, I mean, it varies in terms of the response. You have the Michael Belisle's case a few years ago at Emory, where he had won the prestigious Bancroft Prize in History for a book claiming that there really wasn't much gun ownership in the United States until you got to the Civil War and afterwards. And it turned out he had just falsified his data. He had just completely made it up. And Emory, after a long investigation, revoked his tenure that he had there, and he lost his job. You know, I think if somebody just completely makes up data, that type of thing will happen. But if they have a fig leaf covering in terms of saying this is government data and I was just using the government data, who knows what will happen. I wouldn't want to bet the farm. I mean, look, CNN right now has been caught.
And
you say sometimes some CNN people earlier this year lost their jobs for having false reports about the Mueller investigation. But CNN's pretty much stood the line so far on this. So I don't think academia is any different. You know, there's a case that you and I are going to be talking about with regard to a guy named Adam Langford at University of Alabama with regard to mass public shootings around the world. And I personally believe the guy lied in putting together the claims that he has out there, but it's going to be, you know, he could just have a defense saying that he was just very sloppy. And they're not going to take away your tenure for being very sloppy. They'll take away your tenure if they can prove that you deliberately faked the data. But that's harder to prove.
And by the way, Langford's claim, and this is, I'm talking to Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center. This Adam Langford claims that over 47 years, from 1966 to 2012, 31% of the world's mass public shooters or shootings happened in the United States. And he says this is because Americans are allowed as citizens to own guns. And I'll admit I have a dog in the fight there because I own guns and I value my Second Amendment rights. He said he had complete data on shooters in 171 countries. Just how wrong was his conclusion?
Oh, I mean, he's off by over 2,000%. I mean, at least. Look, this is a claim that was used repeatedly by President Obama when he would be saying that the United States was unique in terms of mass public shooters. I mean, people must remember he said that dozens of times. And when the administration was called up to ask for backing up on that, they would point to Langford's study even before it was published. And, you know, it got hundreds of news stories at the time when it was released. It got covered in at least 35 different countries. Countries like China just repeatedly kept on covering the story because it kind of fit their line, saying that the United States is such a horrible, dangerous, bad country that countries that didn't like us gave it a huge amount of coverage. It got, I don't know, I can't find any other academic study that got as much worldwide attention as Langford's claim that the United States made up 31% of the mass public shooters. The thing is, he never provided his list of cases. So he was claiming in the entire rest of the world over this almost 50-year period of time, 202 mass public shooters were outside of the United States, 90 were in the United States. So you're talking about something around 100 shootings.
Exactly. Dr. John Lott is at the Crime Prevention Research Center. If you want to read more about it, find the information on the website. We'll be back in just a moment. You've got the Lars Larson Show.